And today we're on our fifth commandment. Going over these, the previous four commandments, everything had to do with our relationship with God. And now as we turn to the fifth commandment, it has to do in our relationship with us and people. And today's message, it could be stated pretty simple. It could be also a five-minute message if I want it to be, when we say, this is what it is. Okay, let's just move on. So for me to say, hey, you need to honor your father and mother. Okay, Pastor, got it. Let's go on. But the problem is that when I preach a message like this, almost 9.9 times out of 10, I inevitably have someone after service that comes up to me and says, but, and here's the but you don't know my situation. And I want to address something that I believe is pretty obvious, but I still feel needs to be stated. Sin has made a mess of everyone's lives. An absolute mess. And sin has bore some of you into some bad situations. Situations that I don't envy. And I want you to embrace that we are a people that is focused on doing things God's way. Who can say amen to that? So even if humanity often gets it wrong, you and I, we are aiming to be like Jesus. And so I'm going to do my part. So please, you aim to do your part. And together, we will become more like Christ and we can influence those around us. So let's read the fifth commandment. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for your word. And Lord, this is the first commandment we read that gives a promise of blessing if we follow it. God, may we understand, Lord, why you would do that. And what this means if we honor our parents, what follows suit in our lives. I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. When I read this word, I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb, this word honor. What does it mean to honor? Here is the Webster's definition of honor. To value, respect, and esteem someone or something, often reflecting a sense of worth or high regard. Here's the thing, it's not just a feeling. To honor is a demonstration through our words and our actions. So if you and I, we choose to honor, it encompasses our respect for authority. It encompasses our reverence for God and the recognition of our intent or our inherent, worth of others. So by me choosing to honor someone, I am showing them their value. Honor is displayed in different ways. Public recognition. It openly displays to the surrounding community that you recognize and affirm someone. Or there's an active demonstration in honor, which is not just this internal feeling, but it's expressed through our actions, words, and even gifts. Come on, who loves gifts? I will tell you that God's order, though, in the Ten Commandments, it's not a mistake. I've told you before that it's in order of importance. And God laid out the first four commandments all in regards to our relationship with Him. And those are, no gods before me, don't make idols, don't use the Lord's name in vain, and remember the Sabbath. And if you weave all four of those commandments together, it speaks to relationships that honor God by the way we live. Listen to Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, when reviewing this fifth commandment here, God doesn't say, love your parents with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Did you read that? Doesn't say that. That only belongs to God. But what Jesus says following the statement on the greatest commandment can be applied to our parents. Listen to this. Matthew 22:39-40. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So when you and I start to examine Jesus saying, love your neighbor as yourself, it is important to know specifically what kind of love he is referring to. The Greek language in the New Testament has four different uses for our one-word love. And here, Jesus used the word agape. So if we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, it's supposed to be that agape love. And agape is the same word that is used to describe his love for us that took him to the cross. It is unconditional, it's sacrificial, and it focuses on the well-being of others. So this means, and I want you to really embrace this part of it, this means there shouldn't be qualifiers for who you can love and who you choose not to. And this can only be determined by your own heart, not the heart of someone else. You can't choose your parents. Many of you can't choose your neighbors. I wish I would have been able to do like interviewing all my neighbors before I moved into some of the places I've moved into. Who's with me? And the first commandment that is in relation to others starts with how we honor our father and mother. And maybe you have a wonderful relationship with your parents, or maybe there's some others here who you have this strained relationship with your parents, or maybe there was no relationship there at all. Honor, just like love, flows out of the work Christ has done in your heart. I want you to think about that. Honor, just like love, flows out of the work that Christ has done inside of you. And so how you choose to speak about them, what you think about them, whether or not you walk in forgiveness towards them. I have known quite a few Christians that what they do is they bring up these childhood grievances that they have held against their parents, telling me how bad their childhood is, and there's no aim for reconciliation. It's only animosity, and I would lump that into unforgiveness. And my encouragement to them, as hard as it is, and guys, I know it's hard. I understand. Forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. Then what we aim to do is we do our best to honor them because you can shape the narrative about them. And you can change your heart towards them. At our previous church, we pastored in Waterloo. Pastor Kelly and Heidi, they were a part of that church, so was Kelton. And there was a man in the church who was challenging, to say the least. And no one had more disdain for him at the time, I think, than Kelly. And Kelly came to me one day and he says, my heart has changed toward him. And I'm going to be honest, my heart at the time hadn't. And he said, I started praying for him. Now I love him and I care about him. And you know what? It didn't change much of his behaviors. But it started changing our hearts. And he led the way in that. And I think about that, especially when it comes to people that you might have deemed your enemies, how much our heart begins to change when we say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus' lead in this. I'm going to pray for my enemies. I'm going to pray for those who persecute me. Because we have this huge glaring issue in that we don't know how to honor people today. We really don't. You cannot honor God and dishonor your parents. I want you to think about that. It's one of the commandments. We can't say, God, I know you've said this. I know you say this is good. But, Lord, let me tell you about my situation. God's like, oh, okay, I hear you out. You know what? All 9 commandments are good enough for you. You don't need the 10th. He's not going to say that. It is completely contrary to what he's commanded. But if we choose to practice honor regardless of how someone has treated you, then you in turn are honoring the Lord and can receive from heaven. Now, this doesn't mean as you become an adult that you can't have healthy boundaries. In fact, God instructs when a man gets married that he leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. You know what the word cleave means? It means to split or to sever. So in regards to biology, it carries the meaning of breaking a chemical bond or dividing a cell. And I do believe that even in our adulthood, there should still be honor given there, but also that a child is now broken off from that primary familial relationship, and it has become a secondary relationship. Many fathers and mothers have a hard time letting that bond go. And I have seen full-grown adults in marital relationships where the parents are interfering in the marriage. That needs to stop. God gave him to someone else. God gave her to someone else. Jesus, speaking on the bond of marriage, he says, what God has brought together, let no man separate. The lack of honor for a father and mother can reveal a greater issue in our lives, though. That some of us have a hard time answering to authority. Whether or not they practice good or evil. I want you to think about this. Can we honor without giving someone authority in our life? Can you do it? To have authority in your life means that you choose to submit to and be obedient to. And we dishonor those over us by not submitting to them. For instance, when I was in my parents' house, there are house rules I was expected to follow. When I moved out, guess what I found out? My own rules. When I was in my parents' house, I started working at the age of 14. Who's worked at Adventureland in the room? Come on. All right. At any time, if my parents wanted to, they could observe how I'm spending my paychecks, and they could come to me and say, let me see your bank statement. Now, as a 44-year-old man who has my own adult kids, my own house and life, if they came to me today and said, show me your bank account, I'd say, why don't you get lost? None of your business. Unless you want to contribute to the cause, you know. That is not dishonoring. That's not dishonoring. That's me recognizing now I have my own responsibilities. I've broken off from that. The relationship has changed, and I still must honor them in who God has made them to be and the way they raised me into the man I've become. I also show them honor, check this out, by doing my best to raise their grandchildren in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But in their home, I submit to their authority and rule. There is an issue, though. There are hearts that don't submit to the authority of their parents while under their care. The Bible teaches there are 4 divisions of authority. The first one is civil, which is government. If you really love your government, you'll love Romans 13. If you really hate your government, you should read Romans 13. Romans 13, 6 through 7 says, pay your taxes too. For these same reasons, for government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. So you and I, whether we have godly civil authority or evil civil authority, what we learn in Scripture is all are appointed by God. Come on, say amen. It's not easy, but it's true. That's what God teaches. The second division of authority, the church. Pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, apostles, elders. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. It says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. So check this out. If you have placed yourself in this church or any other church, you are choosing to fall under the authority of that leadership. And check this out. And I realize this is the senior pastor saying this, but if you can't fall under the authority and the leadership of those who are leading the church, it's time for you to find a different church. It's just the way it is, because the reality is that no matter who we sit on, it is a matter of authority. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But the third is family. I believe the construct for submitting to all authority is taught in the home. So learning to submit to parents first is a must. That means the parents have a job to do to demonstrate what it means to submit to and honor authority as well. Amen? Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. Listen to this. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. The fourth is social. This can be employers, bosses, teachers, coaches, and so on. Listen to 1 Timothy 6:1. It says, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants, that's us who are in Christ, regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Here's what it does. It displays a heart that can't respect or fall under the authority of God if we can't learn to submit to the authorities in our life. Back to everyone's favorite chapter in the Bible, Romans 13, Romans 13, 1 through 2, says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. In the kingdom of God, it is important to understand that all men and women are commanded to submit to authority. There is not a single person under the sun that can escape that they're supposed to submit to authority. That means even the most powerful people on earth should have someone that they answer to, because what it does is it keeps our heart and soul in check. There are great dangers for our own spirit if we don't submit to authority. First is it produces a rebellious heart that can cause spiritual and health problems. Kelton talked about that a little bit earlier. It spills out through our actions and our words. And then the second danger is others will follow. They'll see how we're reacting. And parents, that can happen with your children. That people are watching, and if it is okay for you to not respect authority, it then in turn becomes okay for others not to either. And that can include how they respect you. Because when you call someone else's authority into question, they might call your authority in their life into question. Thirdly, produces toxic attitudes. Bitterness, resentment, pride well up. But the fourth and most dangerous, it's rebellion against God. Our service and submission to others is not for the sake of others. It's for the sake of our own hearts in response to Him. Listen to Ephesians 6:7. It says, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man. Submission, church, is not a dirty word. It's not. If we recognize the people that God has placed in our lives over us as our authority, then we must submit to them. So many of us hear that word submission, and what we begin to do is we begin to recoil. We're like, nope, don't like that. Feels wrong. Especially us here in the United States as a free people, it's not in our nature to submit. We don't want to do that. But simple submission is doing what is asked of us as a sign of respect and honor for those who are placed over us. I've heard this saying, I'll show them respect when they earn it. My response back to you would be, try that with your new boss and let me know how that goes. Your status is going to go from employed to unemployed pretty quick. The other thing is that you have to accept, leaders get things wrong. We're human. It happens. And those that you are asked to submit to are going to get something wrong. But here is the key in a good leader. Honest leaders admit when they've done something wrong. They own it. And so it is important for us as people to respect the position over the person. I want to say that again. You respect the position over the person. Rebellion against any leader, what it usually does is it creates a bigger problem. A bigger problem than it's worth. It all starts in your heart, but what it tends to do is it tends to affect others. So it doesn't just challenge the authority over the person above us. It challenges our relationship with the Lord. You see how it's all interworking and how it affects us? Because submission, it's this outward expression to the world of this inward work that God has done. And so our reality is this, God's transformation in our hearts, it gives us this eternal perspective, not an earthly one. And so things that we might take issue with those in authority over us, might not be that big of a deal when you have a godly perspective. And then we choose whether or not to submit, and that's determined on if you and I place greater value on our eternal life or our fleshly one. And as I'm finishing up, the last thing I want to talk about is blessing. I don't know if you caught this. God gave a promised reward when we follow this commandment. And that's the first one that gives us this promise. In Exodus 20:12, I want to read again. Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long life, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And what I've learned as we dive deeper into this, and we're currently doing a class called Honors Reward, and it's based off of a lot of scripture that I'm even using today, and we will be rewarded either partially or fully by the degree that you and I value authority, by the degree that we choose to honor. And God, he's built in this reward system for obeying his commands. He knows if you honor your father and mother. And he also knows that once you begin to honor your father and mother, it branches out to so many other areas of your life, and it displays God in you. I want you to know, God rewards your efforts here on earth. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So what we can learn is there are rewards that come here on earth for doing right by God. This is one of them, right? Living a long and full life. But what I learned as I put the New Testament into view of all this as well, that there are greater rewards that await in eternity. And so many people, they want those rewards that give you an immediate benefit. And here's what I've found. All those things that we obtain here on earth, as a reward for obeying God, they've got a finite amount of time. They're still decaying. They're still washing away. Those rewards don't last. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. It says, so whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. This is what I'm challenged with today. I am following and obeying the word of the Lord. In the words that I speak, how I think on my parents, it also reflects in how I honor others and how I submit to the authorities in my life. And that when I align my heart with God, what I'm finding is that the things that I value on this earth, they're not that important. And it's more valuable to me to make sure that I am leaving a legacy for future generations and how I act and submit to the Lord. Think about it this way. How you speak about your parents will affect how your children speak about you. And again, you might be in this room right now and you might start comparing how you are raising your kids versus how your parents raised you, and maybe the two are vastly different. But what we tend not to do is consider the spiritual effect we are not only having on our hearts, but the hearts of our children. To me, this is exactly the same as when we choose not to accept all scripture. Maybe you're reading the Bible and you're like, oh, I don't like that. You know what? I like most parts of the Bible, but not that. So I'm going to choose to follow 99% of it, but this 1% I really don't like. Here's what's going to happen, especially if you instruct that to your children. Maybe they call you out on, hey, dad, hey, mom, the Bible says this, but yet you do the opposite. Oh, yeah, I don't really follow that. Then they say, oh, well, there's this other part I really don't like. And here's what it demonstrates. The deeper heart issue of rebellion. Rebellion against the one who created us. So as Jesus does so well in Matthew chapter 5, he teaches us that, you know, it's easy for us to look for the sin nature in other people. It's easy to look at what our parents did and say, you know what, they weren't godly people, or they weren't this, or they weren't that. And Jesus instructs us in Matthew chapter 5, no. Look at yourself first. Examine yourself before you dare point the finger at other people. Examine yourself. And so my reality is, your reality is, I cannot control other people. I can only control myself. And so what I need to do is that when I'm reading and I'm examining God's word, I need to get out a mirror. And I need to look in the mirror. And every time I get that out, and as I meditate on God's word, I find myself convicted and challenged with this new command over my life that I need to follow. You know, as far as it goes with having godly parents, I mean, God hit a home run for me, right? I'm blessed. I had parents who showed me who God was. I had parents who led me to the cross, and they led biblically based lives, and they continue to honor the Lord with their lives as they pour into their grandkids. I'm thankful. Not everyone has that. And your life is going to demonstrate the way that your kids ought to live. And what I've found is that there's lots of church kids particularly that they have these moments of walking away from the Lord, and prayerfully those moments don't last long. So there's parents maybe in this room this morning that are grieving a little bit because your child isn't following God. But I do believe Proverbs 22:6 is true. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I believe that there's going to be a time, as we prayed this morning in our circle, Dennis prayed this morning in our circle, that the prodigals return home. And we're praying for that, and we're believing that. But again, you and I, we can't force someone to choose. We have to demonstrate God by us choosing to follow His word. And then in your life, in how you honor, it's going to affect the generations to come. And so in times like this, the best thing I can do, the best thing you can do, is get out that spiritual mirror. And maybe there are issues of you always haven't said the most flattering things about your parents. I realize there might not be much good to say. But our reality is we want to honor the Lord ultimately in our life. And so what I have to do is I have to let God examine me, show me places where I've fallen short, plead for His forgiveness, repent, and say, God, I am going to change to be more like You. I'm going to honor You with my life. And I don't know what that looks like in your life. But I do know this. As difficult as it is to follow God's word, I still need to aim to follow it. And so I think we can agree on that this morning. So right now, as you just bow your heads and you just seek the Lord, and if you'd say, Pastor, I don't know what it is, and maybe it has nothing to do with honoring your father and mother, but I have no idea what it is, but I'm convicted. And I just need to focus on being who You've called me to be. I need to be like Your Son, Jesus Christ. I need to live those words out daily. I want to honor. I want to respect. I want to learn to submit to authority. More than anything, God, I want to please You. And if you're just declaring your need for God this morning and saying, God, I want You to clean up my life. And you just want to embrace Him this morning, would you raise your hand if that's you?